hello and welcome. You're listening to still yet another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this rather warm Monday. Going to be a heat index this afternoon, maybe as high as 100 degrees or more. So keep yourself cool, keep yourself hydrated as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. We're well into the summer season of shows going on. We have indoor shows. We have outdoor shows. We have one of each online to talk to you about today. First, we're going to talk to our friends at the Barn Players, currently located in Mission, Kansas at 6219 Martway, but that may be changing in the near future, and we'll have someone, Vita Bicalis, actually, the president of the board of the Barn Players, will be here to talk about that. And David Martin is with us as well. The current offering about to go on the boards at the Barn is The Crucible by Arthur Miller. Appropriate, perhaps, for today. Yes. Appropriate for the 50s, even though the subject was the Salem witch trials of many years before.
Absolutely. Appropriate for any day, in our opinion.
So, Vita told us earlier, many people applied to direct this show. What caught the attention of David Martin to direct this show?
Well, I think it was actually it's a collaboration with Stephen James, who sort of brought an idea to me, which is not how this directing thing usually works. Usually, you have the idea and you go in, but he said, let's talk about this thing. And he had this great passion for the project, and it infected me with the same passion. And we took it in there with an idea of making it, you know, it's ostensibly 1692 Salem, but people have been persecuted wrongly all throughout history. So we're trying to tie all of that in together, along with some history of witchcraft, some voodoo stuff, just kind of trying to make it present and distant at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, could cover other eras. We'll go through that in a second. I just wanted to introduce you. You are the director. David Martin has previously directed at the Barn Players in Six Degrees of Separation, at the Living Room in Kiss and Tell, at the Olathe Civic Theater in Good People. I remember Good People.
It's a great show.
Picasso at the Lapine Agile. Relevance Productions, one of his own companies, where they did Extremities. He actually did an interview here for that, for Extremities. Let's see. David is also a troupe member of the KC Improv Company, where he performs and directs the improvised Shakespeare format. And as an actor, has performed at many venues over the years. David is a financial advisor with Prosperity Advisory Group.
Shout out to the work.
That's right. Well, you have to do that sometimes.
That's right.
They let you off probably to come here.
It's true.
That's true. So welcome once again to the show.
Thank you.
And Vita Bicalis is the president of the board of the Barn Press for how many years now? It seems like a long time.
I think this is my 8th year of a 2-year term.
Really?
Yes.
So have you survived longer than any previous board president of the Barn? It seems like you probably have.
I believe so. They're kind of looking at this as like a Supreme Court justice job now until I go crazy or die.
Okay, well, and either could happen.
Any minute.
Any minute now. Well, we're going to talk about the news she has about the Barn Players, logistically speaking. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but let's cover The Crucible. Arthur Miller wrote this. And yes, he was talking about the Salem witch trials, but he was also talking about other things. He was talking about Senator McCarthy in the 50s. He probably had in mind other things as well. When you approach your cast, and probably a lot of them, if any of them at all, probably don't remember the McCarthy hearings. I have only very vague memories myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't say any of them remember it, but I'd say certainly all of them are aware of it. A lot of productions of The Crucible just set it right in that time period and just make it very, very clear and apparent that's what was going on. And that's really what was going on when Arthur Miller was writing it. Nice little allegory for all that. But not our production. We feel like that's kind of been done, so we didn't want to do that. When you've got a play that's, you know, 60 years old, you try to put some kind of new spin on it and give people a reason to come see it.
Sure. Well, going even further back than the 50s, the Salem witch trials were in what, the late 1600s?
1692.
What kinds of things were going on in Salem in those days that that made that happen? It seems rather, you know, extreme.
Absolutely. Very extreme. But, you know, it was a time of you know, Puritanism, and the religious undertones in the play are certainly there, and certainly in the trial. If you weren't living, I mean, there's a line in the show that talks about you can't do this unless you, if you want to live in a Christian country. So the idea of it being a Christian country was very, very true then. We could argue it may or may not be true now as well. Mm-hmm. But certainly back then, if you weren't Christian, you weren't welcome. And so anything that flew against the gospel or the Bible or your church or your minister or anything like that was very, very taboo. And, you know, some crazy stuff went down.
See, it's never uncommon, though, when you have that much immigration going on, as you did then, to have people of pagan cultures come to the country and practice their beliefs as well. That happens naturally.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether or not it certainly, there's some artistic license being taken here, but Arthur Miller very painstakingly went through all of the recorded documents that we have, since they did have trials there. They had court documents. You can read actual confessions. A couple of years ago, I actually found myself in Salem, Massachusetts, and went to the Salem Witch Museum, and it was fascinating to see, you know, because I had read the play but didn't know that much about the history. So I was like, oh, I know these names, and I thought maybe they had made up some of the names. I didn't really know that much about it, and just seeing gravestones and court records and actual written confessions and things like that. It's kind of harrowing, and it's just creepy to walk around Salem, Massachusetts.
I can imagine. So tell us about some of the people involved. Did they use real names of actual people? He could have, of
They
course.
Did, yeah. So everyone is a real name from that town. Some of them are combined stories, and some, you know, there were multiple judges. They've kind of distilled it down to two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, John Proctor and Elizabeth Proctor is the primary family, and then Abigail Williams, who was the primary accuser going on. You also had Reverend Paris, his daughter Betty, Barbados slave Tituba, who is kind of the center of the witchcraft thing, because she's, like you said, from another country, immigration, although immigration is probably not the right word when it's a slave being brought in.
We have to be kind here.
Right. So they bring her in, and she has, you know, some sort of, can she speak to the dead? We don't know. So it sort of starts there, but then the girls take it much, much further and start accusing anyone they don't like, really. And there's a great line in the show about, why are the accusers always clean? Why does no one doubt whether they are the ones who are lying? Because pretty much in the play, the girls say, this happened, and someone says, no, it didn't. And they say, okay, well, it did happen because the girls said so. And it just seems kind of crazy.
Flimsy evidence. Yeah, it wouldn't probably stand up today.
I would hope
not,
but I mean, it's very he said, she said. And there's another great section where they talk about, how do you prove witchcraft? Only the witch and the victim could possibly see it. It's mm-hmm. not like there's, you know, witnesses to the crime. So you have to take one of their words for it. And that time, anyone who's saying, I love God, I love the gospel, I love church, I'm the one you're going to listen to.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, things can be coincidental. I guess they didn't take that into consideration. Someone could predict that it's going to rain. In fact, a lot of people can do that. They say they feel it in their bones,
right.
All of that. Now, if I said it's going to rain and it in fact rained unexpectedly, would I be labeled as having some kind of ultra-real power?
Yeah, no, you're a witch. I'm pretty sure of it.
If I were female, there would be a B there. But but yeah, it just seemed to me, from the accounts I've read over the years, that those kind of judgments were made probably much too soon.
And a lot of it had to do with stemming a panic as well. You know, the deputy governor is the one who kind of comes in and presides over the trial, and it seems to me that his motivation in this whole thing was, this stops here mm-hmm. in Salem. If we have to hang a few people, so be it, because we cannot have rebellion. It wasn't even America yet. They were still a British colony, so we had some warring factions there for who was, you know, we had a little bit of pro-American independence stuff kind of going on, and they just wanted to quell all of that, to say we need to behave in our town, in our village, and make sure that this doesn't spread.
Well, tell me about your cast. I mean, the people involved and how they fit in.
Sure. There's 23, so I can't get to all of them, but I might be able to mention all their names, hopefully. Our proctors are Andy Penn and Jessica Franz, who are, you know, very seasoned actors in the Kansas City area, both great. A lot of professional work among them, so I was happy to get them. Our Abigail Williams is Lauren Hambleton. She's new to me. I didn't know her from Adam when she auditioned, and I thought, wow, she's great. I'm glad she's here. But honestly, we had so many people turn out to auditions, and so many good ones, and honestly, most of them 20 to 25-year-old girls, and I knew probably less than half of them. So I was really, it was a buffet of talent to choose from, and I was happy to get such a great turnout and wonderful people.
Did they know the depth of what they were getting into?
I think so, but maybe not the full depth of it. We've talked a lot about how this wonderful cast, top to bottom. I love all of them, and they're just rising to the challenge of the material extremely well. Not only is it difficult material, it's tough to do a drama. You don't get any sort of feedback from the audience throughout, so you just kind of have to trust that you're doing it right until the end. But also, just the language is a little bit archaic. It's not completely how they would probably talk in 1692, and when I think we did them and the audiences a favor by not requiring British accents from anybody, so we sort of normalized it as much as we could. But there's just a bunch of challenges to get through, and it's every scene is 30 minutes long. I mean, they're just all long scenes. It's not a lot of scenes. It's not a ridiculously long show, but it is a lengthy play. And trying to get through all of that and keep it interesting and keep it visually interesting while you're in one location. And a lot of challenges. But our design team's amazing.
As a period piece, design and especially costuming would be critical.
Costuming's really tough. We have a great group. Stephen James, who I mentioned earlier, sort of brought the concept. He designed the set and also worked with Jenny Knecht on our costumes. So some are borrowed, some are altered, some are donated. You beg, borrow, and steal what you can when you're in the community theater world on a minuscule budget, as we all have. But it looks really nice. And Chuck Klein, our lighting designer, put together an amazing design that really complements the show and enhances it where it needs to, and then gets out of the way where it needs to, which is my favorite quality in a designer. Valerie Martin, my sister, is our props designer, and she has this amazing uncanny ability to just take a list and then it shows up and I don't have to worry about it anymore, and it's all coordinated by DK Evenson, who is the best stage manager in Kansas City.
Now, the show opens this Friday, the 14th of July at 7:30 p.m. Runs as most of the barn shows do for three consecutive weekends. So Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, a matinee on Sunday the 16th, the next week as well, Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd. The evenings are all at 7:30, and Sunday afternoon matinee on the 23rd at 2, a special Monday night presentation on the 24th at 7:30 p.m., and then the final weekend of shows Friday the 28th, Saturday the 29th, both evenings, and concludes with a Sunday afternoon matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. on the 30th, all at the Barn Players of Mission, Kansas. They're located, of course, at 6219 Mart Way in Mission, Kansas. The number to call? Well, actually, the number isn't as critical now, since no one is there to answer the phone 24/7. So you probably have to leave a message. So probably
or
the
go
best
online.
Thing,
get your tickets online.
Well, sure. Go to thebarnplayers.org to learn all about the dates, the presentation, and all the background material they have there for the Crucible opening this Friday. So any would-be historians or lawyers out there might find this very interesting. The cases presented were of a rather shaky nature. I remember the last time I saw the show, I always thought, you know, a good lawyer could just riff that witness up really good.
Well, that was the thing. They didn't have any lawyers. They were all arguing their own case. So that's a good true farmer may not have great law skills.
Yeah. And then the show, the theater currently is at 6219 Mart Way admission, but that's about to change. So I want to turn now to longtime friend Vita Vicalis, and she has the responsibility of explaining this to all of us, but the barn has been talking about moving for some time.
We have known about an impending move for over 2 years, and it has been quite a feat trying to find some place that we could go to that would house everything that the barn has grown into at our current location. But while we're very sad to be leaving the current theater building, and it's sad. It's a little scary, actually, to be leaving Johnson County for the first time in 62 years. We are over the moon with excitement about joining the Arts Asylum. And their address is 1000 East 9th Street. And that's, for those of you not familiar with the area, it is just west of the Paseo and just east of the Kansas City Police Department Annex. So lots of nice highway access and a great view of downtown Kansas City.
Not nearly as far away as you think.
No, it truly isn't. And 15 minutes closer for me, so I'm very happy about it.
We do interviews occasionally of shows at the Arts Asylum. I guess Spinning Tree did West Side Story there.
They had a show there, yes. Currently, there are a couple theater groups that are housed there. Dameron Armstrong's Kansas City Black Repertory Theater is there, as well as Zach Faust Productions. And Zach Faust has been on our stage a couple times recently. So we really feel as if we're kind of coming home as far as the people. And one of the missions at the Arts Asylum is to offer a safe place for all artists to create. So we're very excited to kind of get in on the ground floor of that. And they have visual artists there, as well as connections with students and other theater groups. So it's really a lovely fit. It's going to dovetail nicely with the Barnes mission.
I don't count seats, but you might actually have more seats there than you did.
We will, which is another exciting thing for us. You know, with some of our bigger shows, we have filled the house and had to turn away some bodies. So we're going from approximately 150-seat theater to almost a 200-seat theater. And it's a newly renovated theater. So we're not going to have to worry about the air conditioning and the plumbing, and hopefully everything is going to be working. And I do want to put a shout out there to some of our Kansas City, Johnson County people who think we're going to the ends of the earth. It really isn't. As David said, it's very easily accessible just east of downtown. And there barn actors and barn musicians and barn technicians, and we'll still have the exact same quality performance that they're used to seeing in our current location, but just in a different zip code. So I hope that they give us a try. But honestly, I went through and counted all of our season ticket holders. A third of them currently live in Missouri. So I'm hoping that people will give us a try and make the move right along with us.
In your release, you pointed out that you would still have a Johnson County presence.
We will. Thank you for pointing that out. Our youth programming is still going to be in Johnson County. The Barn Kids, two summer sessions are being combined into one because they're going to be in a fabulous space at Bishop Miege High School. It's a bigger space, a real theater. Once again, that's been remodeled in the last couple of years as well, and that's going to be a great location for them. The juniors currently will still be rehearsing at St. Pius in Mission, and then their performance will be in what is actually Bishop Miege North Campus, which is my old junior high, old Mission Junior High for those aged people listening, and it's currently Horizons Academy, but managed by Bishop Miege.
Yeah. Is that a down-the-line of the academy you had? You had Camelot Academy back in the day.
Totally different.
Totally different.
Totally different. I wish that Camelot could have been in this Miege space. It's beautiful. It really is. Yeah. It's lovely.
So we want to remind people, don't confuse this because we're talking about it and we need to talk about it. But it's not effective for this show. It's not effective till the new season, probably in January.
The first thing that we're going to be doing at the Arts Asylum will be our Barney Awards. So, and that will be January 27th at the Arts Asylum. And that will hopefully give any of our actors and musicians who are involved in this season an opportunity to come check out the space and get used to it. So that will be our indoctrination down at the Arts Asylum. And then we open our 2018 season down there.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
I would love to talk about it because we are very excited about it. We chose a season. We put together a season that hopefully has a lot of name recognition, a lot of excitement, and judging from some of the messages we've received back, I think we've filled the bill. First up is the musical Chicago by Kander and Ebb, and that has not been done at the Barn. I think 1984 was the last time it was done, and it's going to be in early March at the Arts Asylum, and I am pleased to announce that the director for that will be the perennial favorite, Kip Simmons. Kip has directed for us several times over the last few years and does a fabulous job with these big, showy musicals. Then in April, mid-April, we have a musical that my boyfriend still uses as the yardstick by which he rates all other musicals at the barn. It was one of the first big musicals I was involved with as president. I was probably not even president at the time. I was probably secretary at the time, and that is Urinetown. And that will be directed by Corey Childs, who is also the executive director at the Arts Asylum. So it's going to be so exciting to see what he does with that big musical in his own space.
Was it your group? I'm thinking it was, but if not, correct me, but had a corporate sponsor of Somebody's Plumbing.
Roger the Plumber.
Roger the Plumber was a corporate sponsor for your
attempt. What and if Bob Hamilton is listening to me, I would love to talk to him. Then we're going to be doing one play in 2018, and that will be May and June. And it's Torch Song Trilogy, Neil Simon's play that I don't think has been done in Kansas City for about 17 years. And we are tickled to have Chris McCoy, who is your second half of the hour interview, back at the barn directing for us. Chris is currently the associate professor of theater at William Jewell College, and also is the artistic director for Leawood Stage Company. So the Arts Asylum is halfway in between for him, and he hasn't been back at the barn, I think, since 2007 is what
figured out. It's a shorter journey for him.
It will be. So we are tickled to have him directing Torch Song Trilogy. And that show, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's basically three acts dealing with three individual scenarios of a torch song singer who happens to be a Jewish drag queen in New York City, dealing with some of the issues that faced people in the 70s and 80s. So a great play for the season. Then we're doing, in late August, early September, we're doing a Kansas City non-professional citywide premiere of The Bridges of Madison County. And that's a musical by Jason Robert Brown and based on the book and the movie of the same name. Bridges will be directed by our artistic director, Eric Magnus. And he is so excited about that.
I'll bet he is.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
it's a challenge, though.
They're all challenges.
Those
in
interpretations,
their own ways.
Especially Meryl Streep, that would be hard to emulate.
Meryl, if you're listening, we'd love to talk to you, too. And then our final musical of the 2018 season will be Rock of Ages. And that will be November 8th through the 18th and directed by Guy Gardner. The perfect show for him. And I know it's on his bucket list.
Kind of fits in with the show you're doing now, David.
It's very similar. Yeah. Rock of Ages very and The Crucible. A lot of crossover.
Except this is the musical version, and it really does feature a lot of fabulous music from 80s bands like Styx, Journey, Bon Jovi, Whitesnake, and a whole bunch more. So that is going to be a perfect send-off to the season, and then we'll finish it all off with our 11th annual 6x10 Original 10-Minute Play Festival.
The ones that are going on the boards this coming December. December 17th.
Yes.
Should they have already submitted?
I was going to mention that we still are accepting submissions for our 10th annual, which will be this December and the last thing that we'll produce in our current location. So any playwrights out there, please check the website and get those submissions in.
Do we have time to work in 3.5 minutes, the rest of this season?
Yes. Aside from opening the Crucible this Friday, we also have next week our July session of Barn Kids producing Disney's Lion King Kids, and that's pretty terminally adorable. Then we open Grey Gardens and finish off the musical year with Sister Act. Mm-hmm. And we also squeezed in a fundraiser in there. On Saturday, August 12th, and back by popular demand, we've got Broadway Trivia Night.
Oh.
This is going to be so much fun. We did it last year for the first time.
Who won last year, Vita? Do you remember?
I think it was My Table featuring Dave Martin.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
We wiped them. It was great.
Well, take that as a challenge, folks.
Yes.
Knock off the defending champions.
That'll be hard this year.
Yes, because I am in charge of the raffle that night, and David has been instrumental in coming up with the trivia questions. So whether you come to watch or whether you come to compete, I guarantee you, you will be fed, you will be liquored up, and you will be totally entertained. And there will be the raffle. And another way you can participate is by going either on our Facebook or our website and catching the link for travel experiences, mm-hmm. which are some added travel adventures that you can purchase prior to the event.
Further information about all of the subjects that Vita covered can be read at thebarnplayers.org. Yes, you have to put "the" in there. That's essential for this. The Crucible opens this Friday the 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Barn Players, currently of Mission, Kansas. The address is 6219 Martway, Mission. If you MapQuest things, 66202. And I'm going to give the number in case there's any special considerations. If you have a handicapped member of your party, it might be nice to leave a message for them so they can assist you ahead of time. Things of that nature. But as I said earlier, no one's going to be there 24/7 to pick up the phone and take your reservations. And so rather than risk walking up, which you can always do, I guess, but there's a chance there might not be room for you, or you'll be crowded in the back there by Vita. No. Vita never sits in the back. But the website address again is thebarnplayers.org. So I want to thank both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
The Crucible, directed by David Martin, opens this Friday night, and the new season and the new location of the Barn Players. I guess you're calling yourself Kansas City's Community Theater now? Is that what I read in the release?
Well, I think it would be a misnomer to call us Johnson County's Community Theater, so how about the Barn Players?
Okay. However you want to put it. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
The director has directed and performed all over town. If we had more time, I'd ask you about your Shakespeare and
Improv. It's a lot of fun.
Company.
Come
been,
see
so,
that.
Have you ever done Shakespeare Abridged, where you did it all
mm-hmm.
backwards?
I have twice, actually.
Very difficult to do.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being with us. And Vita Michaelis, the president of the board of the Barn Players. Obviously, she'll be serving until... whenever.
Unless there's anybody out there who wants to take over.
I doubt that anyone wants that responsibility. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
With us. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we're going to hear about an outdoor show next. Out into the park at the Leawood Stage Company in Ironwoods Park when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. Community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. We've been, in the last few weeks, we've been in Shawnee Mission Park. We've been inside at the White Theater. We've been outside again at Gladstone. And now we're going outside again. Except this time we're going way far south. We're going to Ironwoods Park, which is in South Leawood, where the Leawood Stage Company is presenting Annie. Yeah. And actually, the sun will be coming down coming up, but we'll hear more about that as we go on. Chris McCoy is the director. He is, well, I should have clarified that, professor at William Jewell.
That's right, associate professor of theater at William Jewell. And I'm also the artistic director for Leawood Stage Company, and I'm the director of this production.
That's probably the longest commute that you could have picked. Maybe Olathe would have been longer. I don't know.
That's
probably
true.
Close.
That's true. Well, yeah, I wisely chose to live in the River Market, so I can kind of hit a highway and get anywhere in the city.
Well, then this new move, then, because you're going to direct next year. Vita revealed that earlier.
Oh, that's right.
Here.
That's right.
She revealed that you're going to direct at the Barn, which
that
is going to be at the Arts Asylum, so you won't have a very long commute at all.
Exactly.
There.
That's right across the highway.
Well, welcome to the show. He is directing the musical Annie, the story of a young orphan girl and all of the adventures she has. It was a comic strip for many years.
That's right, in the 1930s.
And the musical was created off of that.
That's correct, yeah. The musical, a lot of people think of the musical as a classic Broadway from the golden era, but it actually appeared in 1977, so it's much more recent than people think. And I think that's very interesting because when you look at what was going on kind of politically in the 70s with economics and politics, it was not long after Nixon's resignation. There are a lot of little commentaries, social commentaries in the show that often get overlooked because, of course, we have an adorable little orphan and a cute dog and great songs. So we've tried to find how to make Annie new again for our audiences. And to me, it really is very relevant. Some of the economic disparity and the political messages that are buried in a lot of the jokes of the show.
Did you know Gary Holcomb? When he was still living?
I did, yeah. I was a big fan of his work. Yeah,
he came on the show one time. He talked about doing the show. He did it in New York.
Oh, yeah.
He and his wife both. And he had many insightful things to say about it, politically speaking. He said, you know, in the course of the show, Daddy Warbucks talks to and about members of the cabinet of Roosevelt administration, actual members of the cabinet.
They are, yeah.
And some of them actually perform on stage, not the actual people, the people playing them. So I wonder how some of those gentlemen thought about that.
Oh, yeah. We did a lot of dramaturgical work on this show, and I was surprised to learn that, yeah, all of the cabinet members were based on historical characters.
Yeah, Daddy Warbucks is here also. Graham Fairley plays the role of Daddy Warbucks. You have a hat on.
I have a hat
did
on.
Did you shave your hair?
I do not
you
have
did?
Hair. I've been shaving my head for quite some time, so I saw that Leewood was doing Annie, and I was like, well, I already have the haircut. Let's go try out. So I auditioned, and here we are.
Well, why did that? That's one thing I should have asked Gary. He was willing to answer just about any question I had, so I'll have to ask you. Why did Warbucks end up with a shaved head? It wouldn't have to be.
It wouldn't have to be. I'm glad it is, because that opened a role for me.
maybe it was easier to draw
Save some ink when they were drawing the cartoons in the newspapers.
Well, you're probably so much
hair. Right. They had to make up for it somehow.
See, usually villains had the shaved head.
I know. And usually I played the villains quite a bit, actually. So it's nice to not have to be wigged in a show, especially outdoor theater. I'm very happy that the coolness of the breeze can caress my head.
And I think it's kind of funny because Warbucks' character almost is a villain. You know, he's a bad guy until he falls in love with this adorable orphan. He's very greedy. He doesn't take care of his people. He's all about making money for himself. So in a way, he's kind of a villain who turns good by the end of the show.
Yes, there's a line in the show. He says, I never cared about anyone. I had to crawl over on my way to the top because I would never going to meet them on my way back down again. And I think that says a lot about Warbucks. But then, of course, spoiler alert, he has a change of heart.
Yeah. Runs into this young girl, this young orphan. Josephine Pello is here. You play the role of Annie.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
At your audition for Chris, did you sing the song?
I didn't. I sang Ring of Keys from Fun Home.
Okay.
And then,
quite a different
good choice. Yeah.
I once sat in on auditions for a show. It wasn't yours. It was long ago. And every young lady that went up there sang The Sun Will Come Out. And I got to where I really hated the song. but it's a wonderful song.
It is. It's an amazing song. Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit. Do you feel comfortable talking about the storyline? Because this show centers around your experiences.
Yeah. So it's about a little orphan Annie who's in the orphanage, and then here comes Grace Farrell asking if she can have an orphan for 2 weeks of the Christmas holiday, and I wave her down and try to make her pick me, and there's a little part where she's trying to guess my age, and I'm pointing up with my hands, and then so she gets picked, and she goes to Mr. Warbucks' house, and then
we sing and dance a lot.
We sing and dance a lot.
Was famous for the comic strip over the years. Were you aware? You're pretty young. Were you aware of the comic strip? Have people shown you past copies of the comic
strip? Yeah, I've seen a couple of them. Not a lot, but
thank goodness for the internet.
Yes. You can go back and probably look at every one.
Yep, I do sometimes.
It ran for many years. Yeah, of course, you have a big co-star as big as you, a dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about the dog.
The dog, his name is Sunny. He's very sweet. I love him already, and I've only worked with him once.
Oh.
he's a big old golden doodle. Yeah. It's really big.
Tell us about some of the songs that you sing in the show.
I
mentioned that one that everybody knows.
Tomorrow,
There are others besides that.
Maybe. And I sing most of the songs.
Hard Knock Life?
Hard Knock Life, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a big one. Yeah.
Did you know these songs, or are you in the process of learning?
I knew all of them.
Well, that makes it much easier. Probably that's one of the reasons maybe she got the part.
I think all little girls who do theater know the songs from Annie before they get cast, that's for sure. Josephine and I actually worked together first on Annie Warbucks at Theater in the Park a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And she was one of the orphans there. So we did the sequel to Annie, and now we get to do the original together.
Well, in chronological, backwards chronological order. Did that make it easier for you?
Yeah.
Do you read music by any chance? I ask these things.
I do a little bit.
A little bit?
Not fully, but...
Yeah.
I have to add, Josephine was a professional. We were struggling to get off book, struggling for our songs, and she's looking at us, no script in hand, singing all her songs, doing all her lines.
I'm like, okay. Second week of
correct. I was like, oh, this is how it's going to go. She's showing us up.
Well, what have you done previous to now? We know we worked with Chris.
Yes, I've done a lot of professional theater in Kansas City. I've worked at Starlight. I've worked at the Coterie, MTH. I've done a lot.
So you get? Did you sing your own song at MTH?
Not MTH. No. I did Annie Get Your Gun at MTH. Okay. So doing what comes naturally was my song.
Very good.
And at the Coterie, you were Helen Keller.
I was Helen Keller at the Coterie.
Oh yeah,
the Miracle Worker.
The famous food fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did that go?
Good. Yeah, it was great.
We did that show in high school. Forks flew into the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Did not make the administration happy.
But pitcher of water had to go on my face.
Oh, the girls wanted to make it look authentic, so they went all out. I think it frightened the principal. I really did. Yeah, but that was that was probably a lot of fun to do. What are the fun points in this show for you? It's a comedy. It's a musical, but it also has some very serious moments.
It does. Yeah, it's always been a dream role for me to play Annie, and I'm 13, so I was like, well, this might be my last chance. So I went and auditioned. And
you think you're going to be too old?
Yeah, I would get too big. So yeah. And my mom's, that was her favorite show when she was a little girl. She watched the show probably 5 times a week.
Wow.
That was her favorite show. So, and I've seen the movie lots of times.
Yeah. What changes Daddy Warbucks into this colder gentleman that he was into the warm-hearted gentleman he turned out to be?
Well, here comes Annie, I mean.
Just Annie's charm,
yeah.
It happens relatively quick in the show.
It does.
It's a little different than the movie. I feel like in the movie, or the most recognizable movie that we all know with Eileen Quinn, is that who is Annie?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like he holds on a little bit longer, but in this show, there's one scene where he's questioning Annie and what she's doing in his house, and then pretty much the next scene he is ready to adopt her. So it's a little different than a story you may have seen on the movie or in the movies, but it's once you look at Josephine, you're like, well, how could your heart not melt with this Annie?
So. There are also two solos for Daddy Warbucks that often get cut from the show, mm-hmm. or people don't even remember them. Help me out with the titles.
Something Was Missing.
Is that the first one?
That mm-hmm. is the first one. No, that's the second
that's
one.
That's the second
I'm
one.
I'm sorry. And the first one is, why am I drawing a blank on my own solo?
Why should
I change a thing? Yes. And the first solo I sing, I'm questioning why I should change my life, why Daddy Warbucks should accept this child into his home and his heart. And that song's really nice to perform, and I think it shows. I'm glad we didn't cut it from the show because I think it shows. It's pretty introspective, and it shows his change of heart. The lyrics are him questioning, but then ultimately decides no. If you don't have anyone to share your life with, then you don't have any riches at all. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those songs help develop the arc of the character.
I agree.
In a really interesting way. And I don't know if we just forget that those songs are there, or actually in the script, it does have a cutting for the song, so the authors, you know, encourage that if you feel like you need to. But it's also a nice element that we've kept in the show.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, costuming, I'm assuming a red dress.
Oh, yes.
What about the hair? Do they work on your hair?
Yes, I'm wearing a wig.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
You like to wear the wig?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We just started tech with
last night.
So
do you think that will affect your singing, having a wig on?
Maybe.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the other folks in the show, how they fit in.
Well, sure. We have Miss Hannigan, which is also a role. I think women who do theater, when they're young, they want to be Annie. When they get older, they want to be Miss Hannigan. Because we had so many women, amazing actresses, come out for the role. And Bridget McNevin Pfeiffer is the one who secured the role, and she's great. She has a fantastic powerhouse singing voice, but also brings a lot of that wry comedy to the part. Alex Gehring is playing the role of Rooster, who is the villain, and his girlfriend is Lily St. Regis, played by Rachel Reese. So the three of them sing Easy Street, that great song and dance number that I love so much from the show. Then Bridget Engels plays the role of Grace Farrell. And are there others I'm forgetting? Those are kind of the main characters.
Yeah.
Kind of fits into the story of Annie. It opens this Thursday, the 13th, runs also Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th, Sunday the 16th, all at 8 o'clock p.m. Of course, it has to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's because you are outside, so it has to be dark. Then the next week as well, Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, and Saturday the 22nd, obviously, all in the evening, curtain at 8 o'clock p.m. at Ironwoods Park in the amphitheater out there, 14701 Mission Road, Leawood, Kansas. I must ask, because people ask me periodically when I do an interview with Leawood, has that construction stopped? Can they go all the way down Mission?
Yes, it has stopped for now. So, it's about 147th Street and Mission. That intersection is where the park is. Yeah. But you can drive right through. And the nice big roads help us get through faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've directed both, and you've probably all performed indoors and outdoors. Big challenge, big difference performing outside in the wide open spaces as opposed to inside.
Yes.
Do you feel like you can let loose more?
Yeah, I let loose anywhere, but yeah.
Yeah, being in a large outdoor space, the actors really do have to... I wouldn't say overact, but, you know, when you're playing to hundreds of people in a large space, you really have to consider, okay, how is this reading in the front row, and then how is it reading in the last row, which, you know, is many, many feet away. So that's something that we think about. And one of the biggest challenges to our space is that really it's just a platform in the park. So we bring in all the lights. We bring in the sound equipment. We bring in tents for the dressing room. So we transform this park into a theater for 2 weeks every year. But that means we have to be really creative in how we design the set, because we don't have any wing space to, you know, store a lot of props and things. So that, I think, is one of the biggest challenges here. And it's been fun to figure out how to do a very realistic musical with very limited props and resources.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is actually my first time in outdoor theater. Really? In my 30 years of doing theater, I've never performed outside. It's a change for me. Yesterday, we were doing a scene, kind of a dramatic scene, and Josephine looked at me and said, I wanted to slap your face because there was a mosquito just sitting on you. And I was like, oh, great. Okay, perfect. So, yeah. But I'm enjoying the experience quite a bit.
Yeah. Tell us what you've done before.
I've been in Kansas City 10 years now. I took a year and a half break from theater. My last show was Little Shop of Horrors at the Jewish Community Center. I played Dr. Oren Scrivello and then all the other characters that come with that. I've done quite a few barn shows. I did Millie. I did La Cage aux Folles. I was Jacob in La Cage. Just kind of here and there. All different parts, all different venues.
Yeah. But this is the first time you got to venture
outside.
First
time outside.
Wow.
Yep.
And any particular challenges?
I'm not a fan of bugs. I can do heat. Heat's fine. But the bugs are what? But I'm just waiting I've heard horror stories from my friends at Theater in the Park and Leewood when they do outside that you will get a June bug in your mouth, so yes. Just swallow it and keep singing.
Well, there's the famous Carol Burnett story. She was on the Starlight stage and took a deep breath to let out that final big note, and I guess a little moth.
Just, plugged it up. So
I've heard her tell that story. So things happen.
Things happen, and we'll go with it. We're professionals. We got it.
It's a very well thought of show, and usually very well attended. So you're expecting big crowds. So should they arrive early, Chris?
Sure, yeah. We hope to have large crowds. We will have...
First come, first serve.
That's right, yeah. There are a few seats that we provide in the first four rows, and then beyond that, it's lawn seating. So you can bring your own lawn chairs or a blanket, sit out there, bring a picnic. It's really great to see theater under the stars. But yeah, we encourage people to come at least half an hour early and kind of find their space, enjoy some food and beverages, and then see the show.
If folks haven't been there before, are they allowed to bring, say, blankets, lawn chairs? Sort of things can they bring into Ironwoods Park?
Yeah, you can bring all the basic picnic supplies or whatever you need to enjoy the show. We don't allow animals in the park when we're doing a show. Obviously, they get a little excited. At all other times, animals, of course, are perfectly allowed in the park. And then there is no alcohol or smoking in the park itself. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, bring blankets, lawn chairs, any of the above.
Yeah. I must ask about the dog. There is a tradition, and I should have asked you ahead of time.
Yes.
Because if you're not doing it the way it is often done, I'll be sorry I asked the question. But the usual procedure was to pick a dog from a shelter, train it, and have it on stage.
Yes, we didn't go that route because with our limited time in rehearsal, we knew that training a dog from scratch, and we don't have anybody who specializes in that. So we put out a call to our supporters and casts and... we had actually many doggy auditions.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Who wanted to be Sandy. And we chose one. I knew that we were only going to be able to have the dog basically the week of Tech Week. That's when we were bringing it in. Normally, if you were inside a theater, that would be very different because we have to deal with, you know, squirrels and rodents running around. So it has to be a dog that can focus. Mm-hmm. So getting one that was pre-trained just seemed like the best option for us. But we're big supporters of those animal shelters.
I've had people bring dogs to the interview.
Oh, yeah.
And
the
dog would do tricks, and it was very funny. I, you know, really didn't help the radio audience.
That's true.
But it was very entertaining, nonetheless, to do all of that. Show opens this Thursday, so it's getting very close. So you're in tech, right, if not dress rehearsals by now.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are. We were outside with lights and everything for the first time last night. So
it's a period piece. So we're going with costumes of that era.
Yep. It's set in 1933, so everything is period appropriate.
Yeah. It's before World War II.
That's right.
They still call him Daddy Warbucks, though.
Right.
Is that because he owned a lot of the industries that would support the war effort?
That's what I assume. I did some research on him, and he came from a railroad background. And so he mentions a bunch of factories in his speeches. He talks about how his factories are being shut down. And I kind of play it as he took his father's railroad background and then grew upon that. It's not specified what exactly factories he's talking about. My brain, it's railroad.
But. Oh, everyone always says, well, that character's based on J.D. Rockefeller.
Right.
But I don't know that that's
right.
The case necessarily.
And he mentions Rockefeller as a friend. So.
As a friend.
Yeah. So who knows? That's where I'm going with it, though.
Yeah, the one particular scene where they're at the White House and Roosevelt mentions the cabinet and all of that. You know, so actors that have played the role and other presidents as well, they often get a chance to play Roosevelt.
Yeah, FDR.
And they have to get the accent just right
That's
to make
right.
it really entertaining.
That's right. That is one of the challenges
to
the show.
Did you pick an actor who could do that?
We did. And then, as a matter of fact, the last time I did the show, Annie Warbucks, Reed Uthi played the role of FDR.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So Reed, who's an acting teacher, came in and worked with our current FDR, who's played by Chris Pierce, and worked with him on getting the accent and polishing that.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job.
So yes. Opens for two weekends this Thursday at Ironwoods Park. I went over part of this before. What's the best way to get from, say, Midtown, South Kansas City, to Ironwoods Park. I guess Mission does not cut through entirely.
That's right. I usually go, you can go down State Line or Metcalf or Highway 69.
So maybe all as the way far down. South as...
I go down to 135th Street. And then you can just take that right to Mission. And
does College Boulevard, if you went as far south as State Line to College Boulevard and then over to Mission, does it go straight through then, Chris?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That would make it easier to get there.
Yeah, 119th is where
it goes. Mission all the way ends at 119th. So yeah. If you hit 119th, you can take Mission all the way down to 147th. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris mentioned earlier they bring blankets, chairs, they can bring a picnic basket.
Bring a picnic. We'll also have concessions
there. They
also
have concessions mm-hmm. there. What kinds of things do they serve?
Oh, mostly just candy and drinks. So okay. not any full meal. So if you want a full meal, bring your own.
Bring something to feed the actors. Are you kept well hydrated backstage?
Yes.
Many water bottles.
Yes.
How many do you go through on a really hot rehearsal night? It's been muggy.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a big one last night that I went through.
Yeah, we have giant thermoses so they can all refill their bottles over and over again. So.
Yeah.
I see.
They take care of us.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a restroom for you very close, I'm hoping.
Right.
Yes.
As well as restrooms throughout Ironwoods Park.
They built restrooms just a few years ago. Before that, we only had the porta potties.
Oh.
So now we have nice indoor restrooms available for everyone.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice little park.
It is.
Yes, it is.
So it's way down south, but it's a very nice park.
Yeah.
Plenty of room. They
beautiful setting.
They have indoor shows as well as outdoor shows. This is the outdoor show.
That's right.
The other shows are at the Lodge.
Yep. Sometimes we do shows at the Lodge, which are also in the park. Our next show, which is in September, I think, is The Mousetrap, and that will be at City Hall. So I'm sure we'll be back to talk about that one.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Yes, I was in that many years ago. Well, not many. I was in that show once. Save myself some embarrassment. The director did not give us the last 10 pages.
Oh, really?
She did not want us to in any way affect our performance by what the end would turn out to be. Because she said that this is what Agatha would have wanted.
Uh-huh. A purist.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't. We were well along into the rehearsal process, and the characters were very well founded before we ever got to the point where we actually saw who the actual murderer was. And in true Agatha Christie fashion, it doesn't come together until the end.
Right.
So that's always a very interesting, at times difficult show to do. As well. But that'll be coming up in September, and that'll be in the Lodge at Ironwoods Park.
Actually, that will be at City Hall.
At City Hall. Yes. Oh, okay. At City Hall. But they also do one at some point. Is it January inside the Lodge?
Yeah, we did Bonnie and Clyde this spring. I think that was March. And so, yeah, our season kind of goes by the calendar year.
Sure. So more information on this can be had at leewoodstageco.org. Talking about this show and the current show, of course, about to come up just a few days away. Annie, so the sun will be, instead of coming out, it'll be going down. Nightly, beginning at 8 o'clock p.m. Is it dark by 8 o'clock?
Usually.
Starting to get there.
Yeah.
Starting to get
we don't really see many of the light effects until halfway through Act 1.
Yeah.
Well, what's it like wearing that red dress? Does that...
So much fun.
So much fun.
Brings out the character, yeah.
Yeah. Just have to be a little bit more perky?
Yeah, in a way.
I don't think she needs help being perky. Oh, she's got that down.
You can see her evenings beginning the 3rd of July at Ironwoods Park. In the Leewood Stage Company version of Annie, directed by Chris McCoy. Featuring Graham Farley and Fairley and Josephine Pello in the key role of Annie. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
So we talked about an indoor show. We talked about an outdoor show. And in weeks to come, the trend will continue to talk about shows both in and out. As we're in the summer theater season, so the outdoor theaters just spring to life and take us all around. The Jazz Insider is coming up next. I know he has some great jazz to send your way. KKFI is well known for its jazz and its blues. And this afternoon from 1 to 3, we'll have jazz. From 3 to 6, we'll have the blues right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.